Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider Review, segment 16. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not bad. Busy, but not bad.
We've left it another 4 weeks just about again.
Well, maybe are we once a month now?
Well, it's kind of getting that way.
Yeah. Maybe we just can't be arsed doing as many
maybe,
as before.
Or we're just busy.
We are too busy.
I have been jetting off all sorts. I was in Alaman at the weekend.
All right. Find any man cider?
Well, I did go hunting for some Manx cider. Turns out there's two places in Alaman that do proper cider. Manx Cider Company, surprisingly, they do a Johnny Jump Up 6.8%, which was good. I tracked
8.6%?
No,
6.8%.
Not quite. Kind of reminded me of the Henny's Vintage.
Okay.
And still cider, quite strong. But it was good. And then there's a place called Apple Orphanage Company. And basically, you take along your apples that are like come off your apple tree in your garden in a sack, and they'll like give you apple juice and potentially cider back, because they take people's apples and make them into apple juice and cider.
But they're not going to make cider from the apples that I give them on that day.
No, because cider takes more than a day to make.
So it's a bit of a false exchange.
Well, not really.
Well, the quality of the cider you get is in no way related to the quality of the apples that you give them.
That's not the point. But they had good stuff.
That's a nice idea.
They had a dry cider, which was, to use my favourite word, different.
Was it different, right?
But it was dry but drinkable, and it was quite good. Now, unfortunately, I had hand luggage, so I couldn't take any back for us to try. But I do plan to try and get some sent over here for a future show. This is worth it.
Very good. Anyway, enough procrastinating. Go into your fridge. What have we got?
In the fridge today, three bottles. We have a Devon Farmhouse cider. Now, this is actually from Marks & Spencer, but it's been made by Sandford Orchards.
Okay, yeah.
So possibly similar to their Devon Red, which I know we've been trying to track down.
So this is a substitute for the one we've been trying to track down.
Yeah.
They said it's almost the same, didn't they?
Yeah, we'll come to it.
Okay.
We've got an Orchard Pig Reveller. Now, Orchard Pig's cropped up before, so it'll be good to try some of that. We also have a Gwatkin, I believe it's pronounced, medium farmhouse cider. And this is a Yarlington Mill. Now, Yarlington Mill is the type of apple. And we've had people suggest to us in the past about trying a Yarlington Mill. So
who have we had suggest?
It's going to be interesting. You know, our hardcore cider fans.
Or the ream of hardcore cider fans.
Yes, yes. So it'll be good to give that a go, because it's another Welsh one.
All right, very good.
So where should we start? We've got medium dry, that's a medium, and the Yarlington Mill is also medium. So let's start off with this Sanford Orchards Farmhouse Cider from Marks & Spencer.
Well, we say it's from Marks & Spencer, but so in this case, I'm thinking that this should be very good. I've got high expectations because the Devon Red, which is supposedly very similar to this, was recommended as well.
Yes, now the Devon Red was the number one cider on that guy from the Independent's top 10 cider list. That's why we were trying to track this down. I did actually tweet Sanford Orchards about this one just to see how it's compared. And apparently the Devon Red is fruitier and this one's a bit crisper. So bear that in mind while we're tasting.
Very good.
It's nice. Very drinkable.
It's very crisp.
Mm.
But it's crisp, but it's got a wee subtle note to this. You need to concentrate when you're drinking this. Because there's all sorts of stuff going on, but it's very subtle.
Yeah. It's quite fizzy, for my liking.
Yeah, maybe a touch too fizzy, but very nice. No, I'd really like that.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's only a 4.5%, so it's obviously been watered down in effect. But I don't think it's anything special, but I like.
No, I think you've been harsh. I think there is something to that. You said the word different because that's the first thing you say of any cider before you decide whether it is different or not. But in this case, you're generally true. It is different.
Did I actually say different?
Yeah, you did. You say that about every cider, so
yeah, possibly.
No surprise. But in this case, it's true because it has got something more. It's very, because usually fizzy ciders, the fizziness, carbonation, whatever you want to call it, would overpower things.
Mm.
But this leaves room for subtlety at the end.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I wouldn't say it's overly dry. I mean, what are they calling it? Medium dry?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's maybe...
No.
It's more medium to medium dry.
Yeah,
but
agreed there.
No, I like that. As fizzy ciders go, that's as good as... As good as you can get. Where's it from? Oh, it's from Devon, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it the first Devon cider we've had in the show? Or is it the second? I think we had another one.
Potentially.
We'll clarify that.
Apparently it's a wonderful lunchtime cider.
I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
I can imagine sitting out on a picnic table in a beer garden in a pub, having a few of those.
Yeah, agreed.
With a thick ploughman's sandwich, something like that.
Or in a Marks and Spencer's cafe. I wonder if they sell it in Marks and Spencer's cafe.
Anyway. Probably do. Very good. I'm giving that high mark. I'm going to let you decide.
Because I think I'm going to end up giving it a lower mark than you about the sound of things. I am going to give that a 7.
7. Mm. I'm giving it 8.5.
Oh, God, that gets complicated.
7.75. It's not a difficult
one. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So okay. 7.75. I still think, like, I'm giving 8.5 because that's what I think it's deserved. But The rules is rules, yeah. 7.75.
No, for me, like, your Dunkerton's Organic Premium is way nicer than that any day. But so that's where I've gone for
it. But that's because we are now biased or towards a certain kind of cider, or cider with certain traits.
Mm.
Flat cider, ones with...
The Organic Premium's not flat.
Unique flavours or...
That's not really unique.
Things like that, or it's scrumpy style.
It's not staple. It's not
this,
scrumpy.
This, in some ways, right, is not... For your... favourite kinds of cider, right? This is going against it, so it's got a lot to do.
Okay.
For instance, it's completely clear, almost.
It is quite clear, yeah.
It's pretty fizzy, but it's not ridiculous. It's not like lemonade or anything. But it's pretty fizzy, and it's quite subtle, and you like big, punchy flavours. So,
well, no, I wouldn't say punchy.
I would say this, IT's graded this low because it's not his kind of cider, but even then... You still give it an average mark. I give it a high mark because I'm more open to a greater variety of ciders.
Are you now?
I have a more sophisticated palate.
Sure you are. Let's just remind the listeners that last week you thought that cider was Thistle Cross's camera specification.
No, I didn't say that.
You did.
That's a that is a scandalous misrepresentation of what went on in the last podcast.
You asked me if it was Jaggy Thistle.
No, so that was after. That's when I was confused.
Next on the link. I suppose it is a link, really.
It's me that determines the order of proceedings here. You've just jumped the gun.
Well, tough.
You do all the research and I do the running of the show.
I'm taking over.
Okay.
So, Orchard Pig, Reveller, Somerset Cider, medium sparkling. Another 4.5%, so not true strength. But this one, I believe, I think it was a different Orchard Pig that came on the Independence Top 10.
Oh, right, okay.
But this is the Reveller, which I believe is their most popular one. I mean, probably you can work that out by the 4.5.
Very modern designing bottle. A BrewDog-style bottle.
It is. I mean, yeah, it is a very modern brand.
Orchard Pig. We've not had any Orchard. I don't think I've had any Orchard Pig. Are they a cider specialist or are they a sort of...
Yes, they're cider. They're cider. Pure cider. So it's a wee bit darker than the Devon Farmers.
Medium sparkling Somerset. A bit darker.
Let's see what we think. Ooh. It's a bit... Definitely, you can tell it's more of a medium. Definitely a bit sweeter there.
Like bittersweet, almost.
I like. It's not amazing, but I like.
It's confusing. I thought I would like that a lot.
Mm.
I might still do. I mean, we've drank this in the right order. So we had the supposedly drier one first. And then we're having a medium one here. But this, I think the first one is sort of clouding the taste of the second one. Yeah.
I potentially see what you're saying, but give it a few more sips and see if you come around to it. See, I don't think it's anything crazily different. It's a good standard 4.5% cider.
There's something tangy or bittersweet about it.
There is almost a, I don't know, kind of little toffee. There's a little kind of twinge of
toffee. It is almost like that when you get, you know that toffee apple flavoured Brothers cider?
Yeah.
Stupid one, right?
Yeah, the stupid one.
You know, you get that kind of stupid toffee, in inverted commas, taste to it. But it's not, it doesn't taste anything like toffee. But it tastes like toffee flavoured stuff.
Ugh.
This, reminds me like a more sophisticated version of that.
Yeah, I'm getting that. I see where you're coming from.
It's okay.
It's nice.
To be honest, there's, if you compare that to some of the reasonable to good ciders we've got in our league table, the ones around 6.57, most of them are better than that.
Yeah.
So on that basis, I'm giving it a 6.
I was thinking 6 too.
Okay, we have a 6.
Disappointing. We have start off with a very disagreement. The word. And now we're agreeing on the Orchard Pig Reveller.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so let's move on to one that I think could be even more interesting. So this is, I don't think I've ever seen a cider quite as dark as this.
It's brown.
It's not cloudy.
It looks like beer.
And it is pretty dark, but still clear at the same time.
It's the Welsh one, yeah?
So this is the Watkins Medium Farmhouse Cider, Yarlington Mill.
7%.
So, good times. You can tell it's a bit fizzy. So this could be interesting. I really don't have a clue what this is going to be like. I reckon we're either going to love or hate it.
It's almost got a head on it.
I wasn't expecting it to be so fizzy.
It is brown. It's nothing else. It's slightly clear, but it's brown.
Well, it is clear. It's not cloudy at all, but yeah, the darkness comes from the colour.
Woof, Jesus.
Whoa. Ooh.
That's very different.
Ouch. Interesting.
This will take a minute to digest what's going on here.
Yeah, this one deserves the description of different.
Oof.
It almost kind of kicks the back of your throat.
You see, it's got a very pungent aroma.
Mm.
And you smell that as you're tasting it at the start. Hits you at the same time.
Yeah.
It's almost like a false dryness or at the start.
This reminds me very much.
It's like a clear scrumpy with added boost to it.
This reminds me, and I don't see, they're probably completely different ciders, but this is reminding me of that rum cask cider that we had with the skull and crossbones on the front. It's got that vinegary kick to it.
A wee bit. You can taste that it's strong, maybe. I would say that, but I wouldn't say vinegary. It's more, it's a powerful cider flavour to it.
Mm.
And in some ways it tastes more of real apples in a way.
This is a weird one.
See, the reason I'm saying that, I bought a bag of apples from Tesco the other day, as you do.
Right.
I was eating an apple. And I thought, this apple is not as good as I wanted.
Mm.
And it was just different. It was just a slightly different flavour.
What, the one apple out of the bag?
No, I had it again. And it grew on me. It was a different kind of apple.
Okay.
Maybe I'm always getting the ones that are of a certain variety or whatever. And this tastes like that different kind of apple. It's almost like a stronger tasting apple.
Okay.
I'm trying to somehow describe this. Yeah. It's difficult.
I'd like to try and find a different Yarlington Mill and see exactly what flavours we're getting that are part of the Yarlington Mill and what are just...
It actually tastes too strong.
Yeah, well, it's not the strong alcohol strong. It's a strong, different strong.
It's both, I think. It's like a very strong apple taste. Very strong apple taste with that vinegary thing. I think it's a combination of the alcohol strength and the very strong, different apple taste with a kind of scrumpiness to it because it is that dark colour. Although it's even darker and scrumpy, although yet clear as well. I'm not sure I like it.
I know. See,
I don't dislike it.
Mm.
We're going to end up giving that a grade, which doesn't justify what it is. Because we're going to give it a grade somewhere between 6 or 7, right? And at most. And yet, it's every cider drinker should try that.
Yeah. And if we, no matter what we say, I don't think the hardcore cider drinkers are going to like us very much if we don't give this a high mark.
Why?
Because...
Why would they... Because there's different kinds of hardcore cider drinkers. There's ones that only touch scrumpy. There's the ones that will only touch real cider.
You know what I'm talking about. But it's an interesting one. So I got this actually in an order from Ludlow Food Centre, Shropshire, I think. I've got a few other Gwatcoon ones as well. So it'll be interesting to try those. But this one... Yeah, this is one. That's what I was going to say.
Is that the Darlington Mill apple?
Yarlington Mill is the apple.
Oh, Yarlington Mill.
Yes.
So that's the apple. Maybe it was Yarlington Mill apples I had in the shop.
I'm not sure.
Are they eating apples?
I don't know. I'm going to say I doubt it. Right. But I don't know. But yeah, it's one that it's so different. You need to get used to it.
So it may be because of the variety of apple they've used, which is the Yarlington Mill apple. It may be nothing to do with Gwatkin.
All right. Well, that's what I was saying. It'd be interesting to try another Yarlington Mill cider.
Yeah, and we will do.
And the same, another Gwatkin cider. But it's one that when you're used to your standards, I'm going to say standard ciders because I don't know how else to describe them. Just ones that aren't like this.
More within the normal standard deviation of normal.
Yeah, I think this one will take some getting used to. I may well like it eventually because, as I've said in the past, ciders have grown on me. I didn't particularly like, say, the Henny's Vintage. No, I did like that, and then I didn't like it. So it changes all the time. So I reckon this is one that could easily grow on me.
I'm going to give it a 6.5 on the grounds that I wouldn't necessarily want it on a regular basis. Say that it started cropping up all over Edinburgh, the way Thistley Cross is now,
yeah.
I wouldn't order it. But if I saw it in one of the few pubs that we found in Edinburgh that serves really good cider and rotates, probably would.
We'll give it a try again.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. 6.5.
I agree. I'm going to give it 6.5.
Yep. Okay. Right. Fine.
Another agreement.
No more justification required.
Nope.
So, that was your fridge.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay. Let's batter on. Let's go into cider news.
Cider news.
Do we have any?
So, we do have some cider news this week.
Are you putting on... Right, hold on. You put on a Somerset accent there.
I don't know where that came from.
Did you do that intentionally? Was it pre-planned or did it come to you just there?
It came to me just then.
No, because you told me you did a lot of preparation for this show before the show.
That doesn't mean I'm preparing what accent I'm going to speak
in. Did you have in brackets on your little notes there?
No.
Put on nonsense Somerset accent?
No, it's just when the cider news, when I say cider, I kind of want to speak in a Somerset
I think we should
accent.
Make this a one show thing, right? So do your cider
I'm
news.
I'm not normally good at accents, but I thought that was all right. Anyway,
your normal cider accent's news. Weird enough.
Cider news.
Yep.
Do you remember, was it episode 1 or 2, we were talking about whether cider was good for you and whether it counted as one of your 5 a day?
That was an opening gambit from our first show.
That was our first show.
Yeah.
Well.
That was almost a year ago.
Well, scientists, who may or may not listen to the show, have been working on it.
Who may or may not.
Well, I don't know if they do. I like to think that they listened to our show and thought, that would be an interesting
thing.
We'll
name them.
We have a scientist at the Brewing Research International in Surrey.
All right.
Have basically confirmed that there are high levels of health-enhancing antitoxins.
Are you sure it's not antioxidants?
Antioxidants, I can't read. In cider.
Very good.
That help protect against cancer, heart disease, and other age-related conditions. So perhaps, after all, cider does count as one of our 5 a day.
And is that the same level of antioxidants you could get from eating apples?
I'm not sure if it's eating apples, but they've confirmed that it's basically the same levels of antioxidants as red wine, which we've all known a glass of red wine is good for you.
So how much cider are we talking about here to get
I think about... I mean, obviously it says you still don't want to go over your...
12 pints.
Over your... Over your recommended unit allowance of like, 3 or 4 units.
12 bottles
so
of vintage.
We're not
per
talking
night.
About it in vast, I'm not saying vast quantities of cider at the same time is good for you, but.
Is there no other specifications? So, cider is a very wide parameter. I mean.
Well, I'm guessing that they're referring more to proper cider.
Proper cider.
As opposed to stronger. Interestingly, as well, a separate trial that went on by the Institute of Food Research in Norwich. Also showed that antioxidants are rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream, further enhancing the health benefit. So that's 2 independent scientific research things that have gone on and decided that cider is good for you.
Or that cider is no worse for you than wine.
Well, no, you knew that having a glass of red wine every so often is good for you.
Yeah, in the sense of it has some good qualities and many bad qualities.
Not really.
Right, okay, no, fair enough.
It's only got bad qualities.
What are the news, but let's move on.
So, moving on. Now, before you drill into me for this next one, the next story is about Copperberg. However, the reason I thought it would be relevant is I've actually had emails from 2 completely separate listeners about this particular story.
Okay.
So, that's obviously interesting to our listener base. You may have seen it on the BBC. There was a story about Peter Bronsman.
Nope.
26 years ago, Peter Bronsman fell off a boat.
Who is Peter Bronsman?
That'll all become clear shortly.
Right, okay.
He fell off a boat, a big boat, in the middle of some sea somewhere.
Right.
And he had a broken arm.
Okay.
And he was hanging onto a rubbish bag.
In the sea?
Yeah. Because he was... Well, the reason he fell overboard, apparently, was because he went to throw the rubbish bag overboard and went over with it.
Right.
So, a bit silly thing to do. But he thought he was going to die.
Right.
He thought a shark was going to come and eat him.
Okay.
So, he thought to himself that if he survived, he was going to go and set up his own business. So he did. And that's where Copperberg Brewery came from. You've got a puzzled look on your face.
Well, there's so many things that I'm not sure about with that. One, okay, he hung onto a bin bag to save his life.
Well, yeah.
What's that got to do with sidearm? What's that got to do with Copperberg?
It's the story about where Copperberg came
from.
Doesn't
make any sense.
If he hadn't have fallen off that boat, Copperberg might not exist.
Why? Because like where he washed up on shore, is that where he found it?
No. He didn't wash up on shore. Eventually the boat turned around and came and got him. But...
So why did that induce him to... You didn't
because...
You left a big gap in there.
Because he'd never thought... No, I said, because he never thought... He never considered before... He didn't have any plans to create Copperberg. But when he fell overboard and thought he was going to die, he was like, I need to do something better with my life. I'm going to set up my own business.
Right.
And that's
see,
where Copperberg...
Now, had you said that...
No, I did say that. I said he thought he was going to die. And when he was sitting there, he said, right, if I survive, I'm going to set up my own business.
I'll be very interested to listen to the edit of that. Because that... I mean, there was a potential average story in there. And you told it badly.
No, I think you've listened badly. But actually, interestingly, what came out of that is apparently there's an alcohol advertising ban in Sweden. So like
what, it's recently come in?
No, it's been there since Copperberg was formed, really.
Oh,
because
right.
He couldn't... They started actually making beer, lager, and then they went on to the cider, the pear cider stuff.
Yeah.
But they couldn't advertise it in Sweden to Swedish people. So what they did is he thought, right, where do Swedes go on holiday?
Denmark.
Not quite. He went to
Spain.
Ibiza and Crete.
All right.
And he went there, advertised it loads there, and gave out free samples. So the Swedes went on holiday, saw, oh, look, Swedish cider. Loved it, went back home, and then bought it.
All right. Very clever.
I do like, actually, this was on the BBC. Their comment at the end was, while Copperberg ciders may be far too sweet for traditionalists, they are now among the best-selling in the UK.
There they are.
So I like that wee hint there, just to confirm that it ain't a real cider.
Do you know what I saw Recorder Leg on tap the other day?
Yeah, they do it on tap at...
Not only... Like, Recorder Leg Strawberry and Lime on tap.
Was that at Bar Cole, by chance?
No, it was somewhere else. Can't remember where. I was just like, Strawberry and Lime juice on tap. Like, anyway, any
it's
more news?
It's the growing market. It's not really news, but something of interest... Real Foods on Broughton Street, where you're close to where you're about to move flat, actually. They apparently sell Dunkerton's Black Fox and Premium Organic.
Whereabouts, sorry?
Oh, you're interested now.
Yeah.
Just up the road from you on Broughton Street. You know that Real Foods shop with the green, the big green banner?
There's a wee shop there I've had bought some good cider in before as well.
Because there's another Vino Wines there, isn't there?
No, there's a Vino Wines, but there's another one. Yeah, Broughton Street's a good place for
okay. Yeah, so if you're looking for
any gourmet foods or drinks or anything like that, it's a good place to go.
Because Dunkerton's Black
Fox,
that's
why I'm going there.
Dunkerton's Black Fox and Organic Premium are high up on our list, and they're certainly very high up on my list. So if you're looking for a good cider in Edinburgh, I'd check out Real Foods.
Well, there's three Dunkertons we've had in the show. One we didn't give a great mark to, the other two we gave very good marks.
Yeah.
So you should. It's those two you're talking.
The Organic Premium's good. The Black Fox, I wasn't sure. I had a Black Fox the other night actually, and it's. Not, I don't like it as much as Organic Premium, but it's a decent cider still.
Okay.
I think they also, if you're a vegan, is it a vegan or vegan?
Vegan.
If you're a vegan.
A vegan. It sounds like you're not definite about anything.
They also apparently sell a vegan.
Try again.
They also apparently sell a vegan Western cider. I don't think it's particular, it's not specifically marketed as vegan, but it's labelled as vegan on their website.
What normal... product, what standard animal product do you get in your average cider then if they need to make a vegan version?
Good point. I hadn't really thought of that. But the two Dunkertons certainly weren't marked as vegan on their website. So, be interesting to see.
Well, maybe it's the rat theory again.
Maybe, maybe it is. Finally, in the news, Orchard Pig.
Yeah.
We had one of them.
We just had one of them.
We had the Reveller. They've just struck up a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
With Majestic Wine.
Majestic Wine?
Yes. Now, they're the ones that are just around the corner from where you currently live.
Oh, yeah, I know them, yeah.
195 Majestic Wine stores nationwide are going to be stocking Orchard Pig.
Oh, right, okay.
And apparently, Orchard Pig are doing really well. Record month sales in July, and they've turned over like more sales than the whole of 2008-2009. So,
well, it's interesting you say about Majestic, because obviously, like, now that it's around the corner from where I'm currently living, I went in and I was expecting good cider, to be honest, right? I suppose when you've got a large shop that sells a huge variety of wine, you're expecting some cider and some good cider.
Yeah.
And I was a wee bit disappointed, but I could understand what they were doing. What they were doing was they were selling boxes of Westons, but a box of like 12 bottles with their four different varieties. Ah. So you had your Old Rosé, your 2012 Vintage, your Medium Sweet and Medium Dry.
Okay, cool.
So it'd be four good varieties. Oh, no, one was a Stouffer press, actually.
Ooh.
So not so good. But I could see what they were doing. So they were selling you a mixed variety box that would be good for like a barbecue or a party or something. So I could understand what they're doing. And they also, they're kind of a semi-wholesaler, aren't they?
I can't even remember ever being in a Majestic wine.
Well, I think it's like you get good wine there and you get wine in bulk.
Okay.
And you get kind of boxes of stuff.
Okay.
It's a different kind of wine it was.
Good news for Orchard Pig and good news for proper cider in general.
Good news for proper cider. Very good. Reasonable news. You're getting better at this. It only took you about 14 shows to get it right, but after that, you've done well for the last two or three.
You can talk. Let's not go back to when you did the news once.
Well, leave that. That was the show where we were told we argued too much.
Mm.
Anyway, what do we do at this juncture of the show?
Normally, we've got a Let's Branch Out.
No, we don't. We usually talk about a pub review.
Do
first.
We? See? Well, why do you ask me?
I just momentarily forgot. We do have some... Well, we've got pubs to review.
We do have pubs, because we did a big survey for the weekend.
We had an extensive tour of the West End in Edinburgh.
Aye.
An area we've both been to many a time, but we never did properly for the show.
Aye.
So we had quite a long tour, actually.
So we did. I mean, we've been in a few pubs there.
In fact, do we not, like, start in the middle of the new town, go to tons of pubs in the West End, and then end up doing some free shows at the Fringe?
Yeah, it was quite a night. But yeah, started off primarily as a cider survey. And I remember from the start, you weren't really expecting to find any decent cider.
I was expecting nothing. And I'll be honest, I'm not expecting much whenever we go out in Edinburgh now, because the theory is we've done a lot of pubs now. You would think there's not many where we get new stuff or really interesting stuff. And given the amount of pubs we've done, there's not many pubs to go that we would want to visit, so I wasn't expecting to find much. I tend not to.
You say that, but we did have a few surprises that night.
We did. We did.
I mean, there's a few worth mentioning. I won't bother going through them all. But Carter's Bar on Morrison Street. Now, that was the one, if you remember, it had like a mezzanine floor. We sat upstairs, and there was like a Space Invader. Is it a bit retro? They had like a Space Invaders game, I think it was, built into one of the tables.
Oh, that, yeah, I remember cool. It now. Aye. That's across the road from Chop Chop.
Aye.
And it's next roughly door, about it's there. Next door to a good burger restaurant as well, which we didn't go into, which I wanted to go into.
I think we tried to, but it was full. But anyway, I mean, the reason I mentioned Carter's is it's quite a cool little place, kind of retro. And they do have probably the largest selection of Thistley in a pub that I've actually seen. So they had ginger, strawberry, traditional, and both originals.
And Whiskey Cask, I think.
And possibly, yeah, possibly Whiskey Cask. So Carter's Bar, I get to mention. Morrison Street.
Fair enough.
Next was just up the road, actually. Thompson's. Now, this was one where it kind of looked like your average standard bar. Big square room. Didn't like anything special was going on. In fact, you waited outside while I went in just to check what they had. And when I went in, immediately I saw in one of the fridges this bottle of cider that I didn't recognise. And I got all excited.
Is that Macallan?
You're close. It was MacIvor's.
MacIvor's.
So I ran out and said, Neil, they've got two different ciders we've never had, come in. So we got a bottle of the MacIvor's Dry and the MacIvor's Medium. That's from Portadown, County Armagh, I believe.
Yeah, another one. Well, there's quite a lot of real cider from County Armagh we've had now. Some in the show, some outside the show, and some in our pub reviews now. It's a good place to go for real cider.
Yeah, well, Ireland is, yes. For sure.
Well, County Armagh specifically.
Okay, right, I see.
You've been listening.
Well, I thought you were talking to Thompson's. Check out Thompson's. Apparently, I mentioned it on Twitter, and someone said that somewhere in Cannonmills also sells MacIvor's.
What pub is that?
I'm literally just looking up Twitter as we speak. It's the Cross Corner at Cannonmills.
Cross Corner.
Now, I, that doesn't ring a bell with me, but we need to check it out.
I know Cannon Mills fairly well.
Hmm.
That is that maybe that new place at the bottom of Rodney Street? It might be. Well, I'll need to investigate that.
We'll look it up. We'll look it up.
Moving to the area.
We'll look it up. Lastly, worth mentioning on our West End crawl was actually the Grosvenor on Shanwick Place. Now, they had the usual stuff. They had Aspals in draft and on bottle, which I thought was a tad unusual. Thistle Cross draft, Recoil Copperberg. They had Thatcher's Katie.
Did we have it?
We didn't have the Thatcher's Katie because they also had...
Thatcher's generally shit.
Thatcher's Gold is, and that kind of end of Thatcher's. But Thatcher's actually do some decent ciders, but we just haven't managed to get our hands on any yet.
Yeah, but you don't trust a Thatcher's that you've not heard of before because...
Well, that's where... That's why we didn't try the Thatcher's Katie. We went for the Hazy Hog.
Mm.
So you remember,
I remember that now. Yeah, I remember that.
Now, the Hazy Hog... it was labelled Hog's Back Brewery that do beer, but it's actually made by Thatcher's, the Hazy Hog one is.
All right. Did we know that whilst we were drinking it?
Yes, because it said on the back in big letters, it did say Thatcher's.
All right.
Now, it was quite different. I think they're ones that add
See,
in...
See, I can't remember. It was two or three weeks ago.
They're ones that add in, similar to one of the Manx ciders, they actually put a bit of like fresh juice in after it's fermented, after it's conditioned and everything, to add an extra kind of slight sweetness to it.
So it's a sweeter flavour, retains you flavour, but doesn't, yeah. It reduces the alcohol.
So it's still 100% apples.
Yeah.
But they do this. In fact, one of the Manx ones actually, what was it? They put an extra bit in and it conditions in the bottle, which means that you get a natural fizz.
A natural fizz and fermentation.
Yes,
well,
right? Rather than like artificially carbonating it.
Yeah.
But this Hazy Hog, it was different.
But did you record tasting notes at the time?
No, I can remember. From what I remember, you didn't agree, but I think that's after you found out.
I've got a vague memory, but I don't want to, don't quote me on this, but I've got a vague memory of some kind of sherbety flavour, I don't know.
I don't remember that.
But this shouldn't be the time for remembering the taste of ciders. When we're doing these pub reviews, it should be about noting where to get interesting cider.
Grosvenor. Shamrock Place, Hazy Hog, and Thatcher's Katie, which I have not worked out yet if it's a good Thatcher's or a bad Thatcher's. I did read something the other day, I think it's a good Thatcher's, but we shall see. So the West End, those three pubs are really, they were surprises.
Yep.
Especially Thompson's, which didn't look like it was going to have anything decent. But good surprises.
And to be honest, those three pubs are pubs that we would never have gone into had we not been doing a cider tour.
Yeah.
Like, if we were going to the West End, we would have chosen very different pubs, which we went to, incidentally. We went to Chuchter's, and we went to Haymarket Bar, and what's that other one?
I can't remember the one across, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Look on our cider map. There's a few others that we quite like in the West End area, which we didn't have anything good for cider. But after, I suppose we discussed this about our preconceptions of Edinburgh, going out trying to find cider. And we discussed this at the time, once we found those three pubs, we discovered, what is it that we want in cider? What do we want to find when we go out looking for cider? And we've discussed at length in the show about real cider, we've discussed what scrumpy cider is, we've discussed what is completely non-real, non-proper cider. And then we struck at the name proper cider, and we thought, that's what we want to see in pubs. We want to see good, proper cider. So yeah. What do we mean by proper cider?
We mean cider that isn't your standard stuff, isn't completely common. We don't really care whether it's classed as real.
Based on camera specs.
Based on
which
the camera spec and carbonation.
Beer.
But as long as it's close to it and is done in a proper way.
It's kind of crafted. It's kind of, it's got something to it. It's interesting. It's flavoursome and it's nice to drink and it's interesting.
Yeah.
And that's what we term proper cider.
Yeah.
So we are going to start the campaign for proper cider. Because the campaign for real cider is shit. So we are going to do the campaign for proper cider. Now, right now it has two members. And we're not quite sure what our aims are. Well, I suppose the aim is to try and see more proper cider in pubs.
Yeah, and I think it's also, it's not just the pubs. I think we need to attack it from two ends. We need to get those that, like Magners, but aren't even aware that proper cider necessarily exists and is like Magnus, but good, or if not good, but it's
not
better.
We're not a campaign against shit cider.
Yeah.
Because shit cider is that sort of entry-level cider
exactly.
to the world of cider.
Exactly.
We're not against real cider at all. In fact, all real cider gets classed as proper cider. But we don't like the strict definition of it.
No, we just want to get people that are used to drinking cider to realise and to try some proper cider. See what they think. If they don't like it, fine. But I'm reckoning most people, or everyone, that likes Magnus and tries some proper cider. Now, arguably, proper cider varies a lot, as we've gone from tonight. Our Yollington Mill was a bit odd, so I wouldn't recommend someone jump straight from Magnus to Yollington Mill.
No, but if you were to go to, say, like, you've probably done it the same with visitors to Edinburgh as well, or people you're meeting for the first time. You go to that the Jolly Judge. They try some whatever real cider they've got on tap there. And they're shocked at how much they like it.
Yes, exactly.
As soon as you get a really nice cider on draft, a proper cider on draft, it's a totally different ballgame to having Magnus pear on draft. It's a totally different ballgame. So henceforth, we are starting the campaign for proper cider.
Yes, exactly. Now, we're not expecting to be converting our fellow Recordlid and Copperberg fans, because...
Nah, they can fuck off.
Well, no. They're effectively alcopops, and... They can't be compared to actual cider.
No.
So if that's what you like, then that doesn't mean that you're going to like proper cider.
Not necessarily.
No, you might, but you might. So,
well, that's good.
On that note, actually, I've updated the cider map along with all the pubs that we did.
Did I
come
in too early with my campaign for proper cider there?
No, perfect timing.
All right.
Because I've updated the cider map with all the pubs that we did in the West End, but I've also taken things to an extra little level.
All right, very good.
Because, as we've discussed in the past, we've been flagging up pubs that have two or more non-standard ciders. And our non-standard were Magnus, Wilmers, etc. So that meant that things like Westons and Aspals, which don't get me wrong, they're good, these pubs that sold those were getting marked as recommended. Which is fine, because it's good that they're selling something a bit more than Strongbow and Magnus and Bulmers. But we wanted something to make the pubs which went even further than that to stand out a bit more. So your pubs like the Jolly Judge, which regularly changes draft ciders and actually has some proper real cider on proper cider. So I've added a new rating to our cider map, where I've highlighted pubs that I'm highly recommending.
Okay.
Now, it's not as strict a definition. I'm simply saying that pubs that stock something which you'll be hard to find elsewhere.
Which cider drinkers, visitors to Edinburgh, should definitely go to.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, if you're trying to seek out a cider that's different. Yeah. So, at the moment, on the list, we obviously have the Jolly Judge, because I have various ciders. I've added the Grosvenor. The Grosvenor. Because it does have the Hazy Hog, which I haven't seen before. Now, maybe if Hazy Hog turns out to get really common, we can change it. But it's a good cider.
Or we'll have yet it's another definition.
Yeah, possibly.
Pubs and
I've added Thompson's Bar, because they got MacIver's, which I've never seen before anywhere.
Right.
And I've also added the Bisque Brasserie, as highly recommended, because they've got Oliver's Shazam and Oliver's Classic Perry.
Okay.
Which was like, from what I remember, there's only one other place in Scotland that sells that, and that was on Skye.
Yeah, I
so I'm not saying that they stock loads of good cider. I'm just saying that they at least have something that you will struggle to find elsewhere.
The only, I'm not criticising you for what you've done here at all, but I would just add a note that says the last three of the four pubs you mentioned there, I'm not convinced it's a well thought out plan to get proper cider into the pub that's got the said ciders into the said pubs.
Yeah, I'm not saying that needs to be the case. I would happily go to any of those three over any of the other recommended pubs that we've got on the list.
Yeah.
Because they've got something different.
But, and the same token, say you had, I don't know, the London Cider Review.
Yeah.
We're doing the equivalent podcast for London, and they were going around London, whatever. If they found Thistle Cross in one pub, they might have it on their highly recommended. My point being, Thistle Cross is available widely in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
now.
I get what you're saying.
And we now treat that as commonplace. We still like it, we're still big fans, but we just treat it as commonplace.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not sufficient to get our highly recommended definition.
No.
Okay.
No.
But that's cleared up. So we've big success. We've got a highly recommended definition on the cider map.
We do. I also have some exciting cider map news to come soon, so keep your eyes peeled.
See, this is one of these things you're hiding from me again.
Well, I've just forgotten to mention it to you. But we have great plans. Or let's say I have great plans that I'm going to tell Neil about after the show. And we shall formulate our plan of action.
See, some of the listeners are going to be very annoyed with you now.
No, they're going to be very intrigued. And they're going to tune in next time
around.
Tune in
for episode 16.
I thought this was episode 16.
Well, it is, yeah.
For episode 17.
No, segment 16.
To find out. So keep your eyes on our Twitter. Because okay. We may have an announcement coming up soon.
Very interesting. And we've launched a campaign for proper cider.
We have, which we need to...
Any further correspondence not already discussed?
I did have an email, actually.
What's this I? We had an email.
Sorry.
The Edinburgh Cider Review received an email from a listener.
The Edinburgh Cider Review received an email from a listener.
Right.
Who said, I know this is a bit mainstream for you enthusiasts, but perhaps it could be a catalyst for a show reviewing major brands. He says, looking at the Cider League, it's hard to know how these compare to the normal selection.
This is a point I made early on in our podcast life.
Yeah, because he says, is your worst, the Christian Drunpoix, or however you pronounce it, that French one that smelt like blood drain.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He says, is that better than a Copperberg pear, for example? And is the poorly rated Samuel Smith's organic cider still better than a Magnus? The average cider non-fan doesn't have access to your choice, so it'd be good to know where the major labels sit.
Well, see, I totally agree. Who said that?
Well, he actually goes on to say, he said, that said, if they are all one, there is probably no point. I'm not even a cider fan, brackets, like Neil. So don't pander to my requests, exclamation mark.
Who's that listener?
This is Jim from Berkshire.
Jim from Berkshire?
Sorry, Berkshire.
Ah, so he said, I'm not even a cider fan like Neil.
And he spelled Neil N-E-I-L.
Did he spell it wrong, did he?
Well,
Jim from Berkshire.
Debatable.
Well, let's be honest. Jim from Berkshire makes a salient point, but he's not the most... doesn't sound like a very educated man. but it's a good point, and I've raised this in the show before. Maybe we should do one day we have Magners, Bulmers, Copperberg, Recorder, like, no, let's not be silly. We'll have all of them in one show and grade them.
It's an interesting
one.
And
you vetoed it. You said that would be our second last or last ever show.
Well, no. See, I like the idea. I mean, partly, if we were to do that, I think we'd need to properly label them on our cider league as non-proper ciders. Because otherwise people...
But we have non-proper ciders in the league.
Yeah, I know.
Summersby
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, well, I know, and that, but perhaps we should do that, especially with our campaign for proper cider. We don't want to confuse people. So perhaps we should be labelling these non-proper ones.
Then you get into a whole grid,
I know,
format.
That's what I'm saying.
You need divisions and promotion points and all sorts
of things. I'm simply just saying...
You've already got too many fields in there.
Marking the industrial ones as industrial.
Okay, so...
Just to make it clear,
good industrial. You've got Westons, which is good industrial.
No, Westons isn't. It's not industrial.
That Westons medium dry is a good industrial.
It's good.
Medium dry.
Industrial is debatable, but it needs to be clear that the only reason that we're reviewing those ones is so that they can be compared. So we can't just bung them in the list.
Okay.
Especially if we're launching our campaign for proper cider.
Yeah,
because that will confuse people.
No, but you see, why couldn't we? Right? Because we give it an overall grading, depending. Why couldn't we just bung it in there?
Well, I see what you're saying, but...
Because, right, see that...
It's a different league.
That French pretendy Perry that we almost had to spit out, that is... I would far prefer to have a Magners over that.
I know, but... I mean, part of the reason, don't get us wrong, it's not completely the taste. Mm-hmm. It's the commercialization and the industrialization of it that's part of the reason why we went for proper.
None of them are going to get a... Well, see,
liked that Carling British the other week.
Well, it was better than any other of those. So, it's far better. And like, you gave that Carlsberg Summersby one a 6 or something like that.
But it ended up with a 6
because...
That was in early days. But that's fine.
I gave it a 5 or something. You bumped up the average. But you gave it a 7.
How do you remember that? That was like our second show.
Because I didn't give it... I would have had to give it a sufficiently low rating. You bumped up the average to make sure it was overall 6.
Really? Anyway, as I said in the past, the scores on the cider view, things have changed so much in our cider tastes that even the other good ciders on it may get better marks, and the not so good ciders should be getting worse marks now.
So we're going to have to revisit them all.
So anyway, that's a debate. We'll further consider this, because it would be, especially for our proper cider, it will help to bring in the Magners and compare them side by side and bring people into proper cider. We can't just stay on proper cider, because people, they just won't be able to relate to proper cider unless we can compare it somehow to some of the industrial brands. So yeah. We'll have a think. But thank you very much for your suggestion, Jim.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim from Berkshire. Well, that's just about it from the Edinburgh Cider Review. Is there anything else from you?
I believe that to be it. So I keep your eyes peeled for our next episode. We'll try and not make it 4 weeks away.
Yeah, we'll try and do it in 3 weeks' time. Although I'm very busy. Yeah. I'm very busy. Barely seen you for the last month or something.
True.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you indeed. Goodbye.